Catechism. What is the second petition of the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come. What does this mean? The kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself, but we pray in this petition that it may come unto us also. How is this done? When our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead a godly life here in time and hereafter in eternity. What is the third petition of the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is this done? When God breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will, which would not let us hallow God's name, nor let His kingdom come, such as the will of the devil, the world, and our flesh, but strengthens and preserves us steadfast in this word and faith unto our end. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, Jesus wants us to pray. He teaches us how to pray. And the fact that the Lord's Prayer is incorporated into the small catechism would seem to suggest that Luther, in teaching the Lord's Prayer from the catechism, expects the people to pray. Except, in these explanations, he says, the kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayer of itself, and the good and gracious will of God is done indeed without our prayer. And oh, by the way, we were reminded last week that God's name is also holy without our prayer. It sounds a little bit like Luther is teaching, doesn't matter if we pray or not. But that's the problem. When we apply human reason and logic to these things, we arrive at the wrong conclusion. But somehow, our prayer just doesn't matter. That's what happens when we apply our reason and our human wisdom and try to make God's word fit it, instead of setting our minds and our hearts under the authority of God's word. That's what Nicodemus tried to do, you know. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus had to teach him about the kingdom of heaven. Remember, the kingdom of heaven comes this way. When our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead a godly life here, that means now, and hereafter in eternity. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he has a question for Jesus. Jesus, you must be a teacher who has been sent from God. For who could do these things that you are doing unless God were with him? To which Nicodemus answers, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To which Nicodemus takes his human reason and says, now, are you trying to suggest that a man could enter into his mother's body and then be born again? That doesn't make any sense, Jesus. And Jesus says, unless a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then later, Jesus says to Nicodemus, and he says to each of you, do not be surprised that I say to you, you must be born again. There's a connection, therefore, between holy baptism, God's name being hallowed, and the kingdom of God coming. This is how God brings his kingdom, that it may come unto us also. God's kingdom comes where his word and spirit bring that kingdom. It is granted through holy baptism. The kingdom of God and your entrance into it comes through God's gracious activity in water and word. Nicodemus couldn't get it. The same thing happens in the world today in connection with the will of God. We pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That will of God involves the kingdom that comes through word and water. We heard about it in the first reading tonight from 1 Timothy. This is what the Apostle Paul said. "This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." There, you have it. This is God's will. God's will is that all men would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. St. Paul's words remind us that not everyone is saved. But where God's word has been distorted, where God's word has been ignored or cast aside, people teach otherwise. "Oh, well, we don't really believe that God would send anyone to hell." But God says otherwise. Were you listening? Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Why would Jesus say, "Beware"? Watch out. Elsewhere, the apostle says, "Mark, point out, and avoid." Why is there a problem? Because false teachers have a bad end. Were you listening? Jesus describes false teachers like a tree. And he says, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." In case you don't quite understand Jesus' analogy to being a tree and its fruit, Jesus gets more direct when he speaks plainly. "On that day many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" It doesn't get any plainer than that. False teachers, those who depart from the truth of the word of God, are cut off from God for eternity. Why must you beware of them? Let me remind you of what the Catechism teaches. How does the kingdom of God come? When our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead a godly life according to that word. If the word of God is not being taught in its truth and purity, you won't have anything to believe. If the word of God is not being taught in its truth and purity, how can you live a godly life according to it if you don't know or believe the word of God? Likewise, when we speak of the will of God being done, God's will, we know, is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But if the word of God is not being taught in its truth, how can one come to the knowledge of that truth and therefore believe it? We are reminded, when God breaks and hinders every evil counsel and will which would not let us hallow God's name, nor let his kingdom come, such as the devil, the world, and our flesh, but strengthens and preserves us steadfast in what? In his word and faith unto our end. This is how God brings his kingdom to us, gives to us the blessings of that kingdom, and his will is done, that we are saved. through the faithful teaching of his word and the faithful believing and living according to that word. Jesus says of false teachers, you will know them by their fruits. What are those fruits? Many people falsely understand Jesus here to be saying, well, you'll know false teachers because they live bad lives. That the fruits of a false teacher is that they live immoral or adulterous lives. That's not it at all. In fact, some of the most famous false teachers live very holy lives, live very obedient lives. They are kind, they are generous, they are friendly, they are funny, and yet they are false teachers because they do not speak the truth of the word. What are the fruits, therefore, of false teachers? It is those who listen to them and believe what they say. False teachers turn people aside from Christ alone and say, either the work of Christ plus your effort, the work of Christ plus your good intention, the work of Christ plus your good works. False teachers always add something to the work of Christ. From this deliver us. And that's what we pray for. When we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We ask that God's word would continue to be taught in its truth and purity. And God has promised that his word will be preached until the day when Christ comes again in glory. But alongside faithful preaching, the world will be filled with false teachers and false religion. As we pray, thy will be done, we pray that God would spare us from those false teachers, that he would show us according to his word that which is false and turn aside from it and point us to that which is true, that we might know the word of God, believe what is in the word of God, and let us be reminded, live holy and godly lives according to that word. This is what we pray for. Each and every time we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus speaks a warning here. He warns the church against false teachers and the deadly eternal consequences of false teaching. But Jesus also promises that where his word is taught in its truth and purity, and where his people hear his voice, listen to that word, and live according to that word, have no fear. As Jesus describes in the parable of Judgment Day, called the separation of the sheep and the goats, Jesus will turn to his sheep, those who have listened to his voice, who have believed his word, and lived godly lives according to those words, trusting in Christ and Christ alone. He will say to the faithful, come, enter into my kingdom. Receive the dwelling that has been prepared for you from eternity. This is the good and gracious will of God. In Jesus' name, amen.